You'll listen to the sweet sounds of Take Two Podcast. Now sit back, relax, and let's have some fun.
Welcome back, Take Two Podcast, episode 31. Tony here with Craig and Brian. Big weekend at the box office. Let's kick it off. Brian, give us some numbers.
31 is my age. This is awesome. This can be a big episode. Not true. Yeah, not.
I mean, how do you feel about lying to all 10 listeners we have?
So, Guardians of the Galaxy came in number one this weekend.
It's 10? Wow.
I upped it by 8.
Oh, okay.
Round up.
$65 million for Guardians of the Galaxy. That's a pretty decent second weekend, putting it at $248 overall. That surpasses its $200 million budget. So they are thankfully going to make a profit. Phew.
I was worried for them.
Number two, right behind that, obviously, $19 million was Snatched. Little bit of a surprise that came in number two. Number three is the summer bomb of 2017, King Arthur, at $15.3 million.
Then sorry, Roy.
Yeah. $175 million budget. Huge cast, huge set, huge production design, and nobody went to see it. Not even Roy, who picked it for his number two seed. But the good news is for Roy, he's right now all alone in second place for our bracket. Number one is Guardians from last week, and number two is King Arthur, and nothing else has come out yet, so that's why he's in second. Fate of the Furious and Beauty and the Beast, they wrap up our top five. Big surprise there, King Arthur, major bomb, came in third place behind Snatched, with Goldie Hawn and Tony's favorite comedian. What's that lady's name? Amy Schumer.
Amy Schumer.
Yeah, I couldn't even think of her darn name. Amy Schumer. Good for Amy Schumer. She has one shtick, that raunchy shtick, and it's making money for her. So milk it until it's done, Amy.
You got it.
So
how's Bahubali doing?
Oh, Bahubali 2, the conclusion. Just under $2 million. Puts it at 18 overall after week number three. So it's 10.
So in 3 weeks, it's made more than King Arthur.
This is true. Well, in 2 weeks, it made more because it only made $1 million this week. So simple math. 2 weeks, it beat out Arthur. Let's see. Circle was up there. A little bummed about it. I want to see Circle, but that won't make any money. The other opening weekend one was The Wall. That made less than $1 million. And Low Riders, which I know nothing about Low Riders. I'm not sure if you guys are. That made $2 million. Those are your other opening weekend films.
Yeah, I mean, you already had Great Wall come out, and it didn't make a lot. So why would you just go with regular Wall?
So true. Even with starring, I believe, John Cena.
Yeah, you're right. John Cena.
Was it? Well, and obviously no one saw him because it made less than $1 million.
Damn.
Oh, come on, Craig. That joke was, like, really good. Doesn't he do that? You can't see me?
Craig.
You can't see my film? Anyway.
I no.
Sorry, I know you're not a big wrestling guy. So.
I'm not. I'm just, you know, I know of it. I know it exists. There was some big pay-per-view that just happened. Whatever.
Okay, moving along. So that reviews our summer blockbuster is going to really get hot and heavy coming up. We got some big movies coming out, so stay tuned. If you haven't listened to our blockbuster special edition episode, go back on iTunes or Podomatic, however you listen to us, and check out our summer movie blockbuster draft. All six hosts got to draft three movies each, and we're taking their opening weekend numbers and adding them all up for the summer to see who our champion is for the 2017 summer blockbuster. Check out that episode once you're done listening to this one.
I was just trying to figure out mentally, math-wise, if there is any way Roy could even win.
No.
Just in general. I mean,
what's his other picks? I forgot.
Despicable Me 3, doesn't he have that? He has another.
I think he has that one.
He has an animated.
That's a good one.
That's a good one, but...
Oh, yeah, Cars, right?
Cars 3?
Yeah.
I don't know. Oof. That's a rough.
Oh,
that's
no.
Rough.
I take that. Cars 3 was his one seed, but then he has Wimpy Kid, which comes out this weekend.
Wimpy Kid. Ooh. So he might be done after this weekend.
He might be.
He needs about $1.40 out of Cars just to even think about it. Wouldn't you
what
say?
What are the odds that Bahubali and Latin Lover beat Arthur and Wimpy Kid?
And Wimpy Kid? Decent.
Yeah.
I mean, at this point, now that Arthur just only pulled in 15, those are decent.
I mean, even if you start going into overseas with Arthur, there's no way they're making that, what is it, $175 million you said for the budget? There's no way they're making that back, right?
Yeah, someone's losing their job.
I don't know. I haven't read any of the reviews. I don't know if it's the movie's just horrible, if nobody was interested in it.
I think that's it more than anything. I mean, people have seen the character, they've seen the story, it's been done. Right. Nobody cares anymore.
No. And out of all the things they've done, let's all be honest, the Disney Sword in the Stone cartoon is probably the best one they've ever made.
We just watched it this weekend. My kids saw it for the first time.
See?
I bought it off Amazon, $10, and it was at the house the next day, and we checked it out.
$10? Oh, you bought it?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's
nice. Physical DVD.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, old school.
Look at you going old school.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Keeping it real for the kiddos.
Gotta let them know the struggle. They gotta wait 24 hours to watch this movie.
Well, I mean, because we went to Disney a couple months ago, and my son was pulling on the sword and all that, and I was like, you guys haven't even seen this movie. You don't even know what you're doing. It's kind of silly. So we had to give them some background.
I went the 2017 route and rented Split. Finally got to see Split.
Nice.
I enjoyed it. We'll talk about it. Craig's on here, so we'll talk about it later.
I haven't watched it. Wah, wah.
It's okay. It was good. I liked it. I liked it because of the ending. If the ending was different, I could have hated the film. But overall, I really enjoyed it because of the ending and the direction it's going. Anywho. Okay, so for those of you who did not know, Mother's Day was this past weekend. If you didn't know that, you're in trouble. You probably should.
You're late.
Call Shame your
mom.
On you. Yeah,
go call your mom right this second.
Because, I mean, it's pretty given. I would say at least, 90% of our listeners probably have moms.
Probably.
90's a little high. We'll go with that.
The good thing is you can probably get those discount flowers today.
That's
right. Save yourself a little dough.
Here, Mom, I got you 24.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
So we all decided to give our top three TV moms. And rattling off just a quick list of everybody's favorite TV moms. Mine are Carmela Soprano, Jill Taylor, and Martha Kent, the Smallville version. Roy also took Martha from Smallville. Marge Simpson and Lois Griffin. Bo took Lois.
He has a thing for cartoons, I see.
He sure does.
Sensing a theme here.
He has a lot of anime at his house and hentai. Yeah. Anyway, Bo took Lois from Malcolm in the Middle. Gloria Pritchett, which doesn't surprise me at all with him. And no. Jill Taylor. Tony, you also went Carmela Soprano. You went Sophia from Golden Girls. And then,
that was a good one. That was a good one. I was thinking her.
It is good.
I think people forget her.
Oh, yeah, big time. And Claire Dunphy, which is solid. Julie Bowen, Baltimore, Maryland. And
I think she's like the ultimate modern mom.
Oh, sure.
I mean, she needs to eat a sandwich, but that's about the only issue I have with her.
Disagree.
Agree to disagree,
guys. Yeah.
You guys had a good repertoire, but we'll agree to disagree.
Oh, goodness. Anyone that didn't get that joke, go back to our last episode 30, listen to it, and then replay this one. You'll laugh. Nick went with Claire Huxtable, Beverly Goldberg, and Peggy Bundy. And finally, Craigie.
I'm pretty sure, did he know that we were picking, like, the best moms?
Yeah, because I thought about Peg, but I was like, she wasn't a good mom.
She was not a good mom.
Mm-hmm.
Memorable, sure, but not good.
Maybe it was like he wanted her to be his mom, so that was why it was his favorite. I don't know. And Craig went with Claire Huxtable as well. Morticia Adams. No, Morticia.
No, it's Morticia. I just have fat fingers when I text.
Oh, okay.
So it's Morticia.
And that's from the TV show, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
To me, when I think of Adams Family, I think more the movies.
Oh, no, definitely the TV show.
And then you also took Aunt Becky from
Aunt
Full
Becky.
House.
She supported that, you know, that rebel without a cause, Jesse, who just wanted to play in his band.
Now, for that show specifically, would you say she was a better mom than Danny?
I don't know. Danny had that whole OCD thing about cleaning, so that kind of bugged me.
He was definitely.
Danny was also the first and only Warriors fan before 2016. Remember, he used to wear the Golden State Warriors outfit.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, he was the only person that was ever a fan of them before 2016.
That's true. So. Maybe him and hanging with Mr. Cooper. Was he Warriors?
I don't know.
We'll go with just Danny. Just fun fact. Yeah. Danny Tanner, the OG Warrior fan.
That's right.
So there you guys go. Favorite TV moms. Email us, Twitter us, Facebook us, your favorite TV moms of all time. Give us your top 3, give us your top 20. take2podcast@gmail.com is our email. At Take Two Podcast for the Twitter. Facebook, you can find us easily with Take Two Podcast. Send us your thoughts and your favorite TV mom. Moving right along, we have a review. Somebody actually saw a movie this weekend.
Yeah, I did. I went to see Snatched, like you talked about. It was number two this weekend. Amy Schumer knows how to make some money. And also it applies to Mother's Day because it definitely had that mother-daughter storyline going on. And I was kind of impressed. I thought it was just going to be a raunchy R-rated comedy, but they definitely did get a little bit of that mother-daughter storyline in there for you. So it did work out. I didn't realize this is the first time Goldie Hawn has made a movie in 15 years, which I don't know why she decided to come back out just for this. If she thought it was that good of a project, whatever. But I thought the movie was decent. I'd give it like a solid 6 to 7 range. It had some good laughs in there if you like the R-rated comedies, and they definitely pushed the limits on some of that stuff. There's even like some definitely like dark humor to it where some people get killed and whatnot, and you're just laughing, you know, almost to tears when they die or whatever. And I like that kind of stuff. So I definitely enjoyed it probably more than I should have. I didn't really want to go see it at first, but I indulged the wife. The wife's a fan. We went to see Amy Schumer stand up when she came on tour, and it was good. It surprised me. It was better than I thought it was going to be. And really, more than anything, the supporting actors sold the movie. Ike Barinholtz, I don't know if you guys are familiar with him at all. He was in like the Mindy Project, a couple other like small roles. He's hilarious as Amy Schumer's brother in the movie. Cool. You had a small role by Wanda Sykes and Joan Cusack, which Joan Cusack doesn't even speak a word in the movie, but she's in there. And their part I really didn't love in the movie, but it was funny that they were in it, and there was like a cute little, you know, cameo kind of role, if you will, for them. But Christopher Maloney was hilarious, which he's most known for his work on Law and Order. Mm-hmm. But if you've seen like Wet Hot American Summer,
Especially he's funny in. Yeah,
yeah, he's funny. So he was hilarious. He's only in a couple scenes in this, but he was really funny. So I feel like if it wasn't for all that little supporting cast humor, it might not have been as good of a movie. But all that added in and kind of helped it out, and I thought it was fun. It was a fun movie. Like I said, they gave you a little bit of the mother daughter bit to sell it for Mother's Day, and I think it was just smart programming on her part. Like, let's put it out right now. There's like a big action movie out, and that's it. Like, there's no R-rated comedy coming out for a little bit. Like, it was a good spot for her to get in there, and I think that's why she was successful and made some good money on it. So if you like that stuff, if you like the R-rated comedies, go check it out. I think it's definitely pretty good, worth watching. So
I read something that Joan Cusack got third billing for the credits. But
oh, really?
There was some kind of deal where she agreed to do it and not have any lines, like you just said, but they wound up giving her third billing.
Yeah, that's strange. I didn't even realize that, if that's the case.
One hell of an agent you got right there.
Yeah, but I guess of the actors you just mentioned, I guess it kind of makes sense.
Some of the other guys are a little lesser known. Like I said, Ike Barinholtz, I think he's funny, but he's not in much. Randall Park is in it for a couple scenes. He's pretty funny too, but most of these names people wouldn't know unless you looked them up. And Christopher Maloney is a big name, but he's really only in it for like 2 or 3 scenes, but hilarious in every scene he's in. So, like I said, I think all that, just the supporting cast, really helped the movie be overall funny, where it was worth going to see.
Nice.
It wasn't one of the best I've ever seen or anything, but it was definitely a nice night out of the movies, and I enjoyed it. So, good on Amy Schumer. I'm proud of her for making some money.
And Goldie Hawn's go ahead, sorry.
No, I was just saying, she's definitely a smart business person, so she knows what she's doing.
The Goldie Hawn's house has been on fire lately, with Kurt Russell winning Guardians last weekend and this weekend, making some money, and then her making it with this. And then who got their star? Was it Kurt?
I think so, yeah. They just had a ceremony like last week or whatever.
I'm glad things are working out for this, too. I mean, that's nice.
Yeah, it's about time they finally did something good with their careers.
About time they got credit for their stuff, yeah.
Moving along.
Speaking of reviews, if you guys check out our wonderful website, take2podcast.com, I actually typed up some reviews on there. I got a review for the newest Netflix movie that came out called Mindhorn. It's actually from BBC put it on. It actually was released last year, but Netflix just got the rights to it. So they just released it, I want to say Friday? And it came out, so I put up a review about it. You can read it and find out whether it's worth checking out. I did another review for Boone the Bounty Hunter, starring the reason I watch it, which was John Morrison, who used to wrestle in WWE. Now he's Johnny Mundo, wrestling in Lucha Underground. So starring him is a very similar to Dog the Bounty Hunter kind of thing. And I thought this movie was spectacular. And I think everybody needs to watch it. And you can go on, you can read my view about it. I'm sorry if I just spoiled the ending for you about how much I like it. But go watch the movie, read the review. It's got a bunch of extra good stars. It's got Spencer Grammer, who's been in Greek and a couple of other things. It's also got Jonathan Lipnicki, the human head weighs 8 pounds kid, nice. Think I feel comfortable in my manhood saying, definitely has turned into quite an attractive young man, because he pretty much doesn't wear a shirt for most of it.
He just crunches, right?
He has like an unbuttoned shirt the whole time. He's definitely one of those Hollywood kids that grew up onto the good side of good looking, as opposed to some of the other ones.
Macaulay
Culkin, exactly. Yeah. And then the main villain is Richard Taylor, who was the bad guy in Kindergarten Cop. And he looks exactly the same, and it's just as scary as he was when I saw him in Kindergarten Cop. And then I also put up a nice review of Riverdale. That season finally ended on CW. I'm pretty sure I'm the only out of the six of us that watch it. Probably one of the few 30-some men that watch it by themselves.
Might be the only on that one.
Might be the only. I'm sure there are a few that watch it with their wives. But put up a review about that. It was actually... It was a pretty decent season. I thought they had a lot of problems throughout it, but I think if overall it went pretty well, they actually set it up for a whole second season with a whole, different, this one was all about one kid getting murdered. They set up a whole second season coming in already. So, and I'm pretty, they got renewed, I want to say a couple months ago for the second season. So they knew it was coming, but it was good. So, check it out. Check out the reviews again, take2podcast.com. Check out all three reviews. Let me know what you think of them. Let me know if you agree with any of them on Twitter or on comment on the blog itself.
Yeah, and I'll get a Snatch review up there also. I've just been lazy, but it'll get up there.
Super.
Good job. It'll get up there right around the same time as our Guardians of the Galaxy reviews do.
Yeah, that's not up there either.
All six hosts saw it. Nobody's written a word.
Nobody wrote a review. We all saw it, and we all had different opinions, and nobody wrote a review yet.
Well, we talked enough about it, we thought.
Way to go, us.
Yep.
So getting into other fun news, besides how much we don't want to write about stuff, they released the trailer, I believe it was actually this morning, the new full trailer for The Gifted, which is Fox's new X-Men sort of spin-off show about kids appear to be in high school who find out that they have superpowers. It's actually being directed by Bryan Singer, which I think is interesting. I think that'll give it maybe a little bit higher quality than some other stuff they might have been putting out. But basically it's two parents, one of the father, who's played by Stephen Moyer from 6 Feet Under. Not 6 Feet Under, what's the
True
vampire?
Blood. True Blood.
That's it, yes. Mm-hmm. He plays a government agent who hunts down mutants and finds out that then his kids actually have powers, and so it becomes this whole thing as to which side does he side on kind of thing. Very similar, if you think about it, to Heroes. So we'll kind of see how this goes and which direction this show goes in. But the trailer looked good. The effects look good. I don't know if you guys were able to see it at all or see how it looked, but I think it's going to be a decent show.
Trailer looked good.
They also released today a trailer for the new Netflix series Glow, The Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling, which I'm very excited is a series coming out. It's June 23rd. Netflix is dropping the whole series, starring Alison Brie, Marc Maron, basically as a, Alison Brie plays a, struggling out of work actor who wants more significant roles, gets into here, and they, find out it's the creation of Glow that she's becoming part of. And the trailer looks pretty funny. I think the show's going to be funny. I like Alison Brie. I think, she's pretty good in what I've seen her in. So I think she's going to end this, it's very 80s, which I think is perfect. Mm-hmm. Like late 70s, early 80s is how this whole thing looks. The clothes, it's kind of hilarious.
Now, I haven't watched the trailer yet. Is it similar to, like, Whiplash? Did you see that one? Like, the roller derby kind of movie?
I could have that same sort of feel, but this definitely has a more comedic feel to it.
Because I like that movie, surprisingly. I thought that one was pretty good, yeah.
I agree.
And I'm a fan of Alison Brie, so I'm looking... I might have to check this out, even though...
Captain Marvel.
It wouldn't be necessarily something I would look up, you know, on my own, but...
Yeah, I mean, I think if... You know, check out the trailer. Like I said, it's not coming out till the end of June. But check out the trailer. Like I said, I think it looks funny. I think it's going to be pretty good. Doesn't say how many episodes there are or anything yet. Or whether this is a half hour or an hour long show.
Now, what's Marc Maron's role? Because he hasn't really acted, right? He's just done his, like, Sundance...
His Sundance show and his podcast. He's been a few bit parts. He appears to be the almost like the coordinator of it all. I don't know if he's playing like the director or the Vince McMahon manager kind of thing, but he's the one that comes in and tells these women what they're doing and what they're trying to form. So it's even the few parts I had with him was pretty funny.
Okay, might have to check it out.
I think it'll be right, yeah.
Yeah.
And then speaking of even more stuff from trailers being dropped, Universal is really trying to push this Mummy movie coming out. So they've been dropping little interviews and clips and stuff like that. And just today, they dropped a clip with interviews and some new footage from the Mummy coming out. Yeah, spoiler. That's showing that Russell Crowe is going to be the person who brings all of these Universal monster movies together. He's sort of the linchpin who's bringing... Because they were going to do this whole universe, I know, starting with Dracula Untold.
They keep saying they're going to start it with each movie, but none of them...
Yeah, but none of them have. Apparently, it was supposed to be Dracula, but it did not do well, so they didn't do that. So now I guess they're hoping that the Mummy's going to do this, and Russell Crowe playing the Dr. Jekyll role of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde is going to be the one who sort of brings everything together. He sort of has, it appears from the clips they showed, almost like a organization or something, or an institute that looks for these abnormal creatures and monsters throughout the world and tries to study them and, if possible, you know, if need be, capture them.
So he's your Nick Fury.
Basically, yes. Yeah. He is Nick Fury of Monster Shield.
Yeah.
Or whatever they decide to call it.
Monster Shield.
Yeah, but it looks good. And if you want to see, if you look into the at the clips that they've dropped, they do give a short clip of him as Mr. Hyde. Most of the time, it's just him voiceover or actual images of him as Dr. Jekyll talking about this Monster Shield, which now is what I'm going to call it forever, whether that's what they call it or not.
We should all start that hashtag.
We should figure out what Shield would be if it was just monsters, like what the acronym is.
Mealed.
Yeah, I got nothing.
Hit us up on Twitter at Take2Podcast if you've got any ideas for what Monster Shield should be called.
Right, and it can't be Monster Squad because that was a whole separate movie.
And it was an awesome movie.
Was an awesome movie. We need to do that movie.
Yep.
I love that movie.
I got it. How about the Monstars?
Okay, edit that. Wasn't that from Space Jam?
Yes.
Come on. Monstars. Yeah. Come on. All right, is that all the news you got?
Let's see. That's all. And then just some quick hitters. There's the big push on social media, which I know we are part of, trying to get Michael Rooker to have a cameo in the Mary Poppins Return movie after the Guardians of the Galaxy clip and everything that happened in there, where he's Mary Poppins, y'all. So... The whole social media thing on Twitter trying to get him to be in Mary Poppins Returns, even if it's just a quick cameo. I think it's genius.
I'm in.
Yeah, I see no reason why they shouldn't at least try and do it.
He should just be one of the penguins, like
just hanging out in the background.
A blue penguin.
Really know.
Yeah, I like it. And then just quick musical news. Fox came out and announced that Christmas Story is going to be their new musical coming out this Christmas season. And then they announced next year they're actually going to have Rent come out as their next live TV musical. And NBC came out and said Jesus Christ Superstar is what they're going to be releasing Easter of next year as their live musical. So it'll be interesting. I mean, I think Rent on the... small screen, I'm not quite sure how that's going to be. Christmas Story, I think it'll be decent. I haven't seen the musical of it. I know it exists.
Yeah, I want to say it won some Tonys, right?
Yeah, I think it did pretty well. So I'd be interested to see that.
Interested to see if they bring some of the original people from Rent onto the live version.
I mean, they definitely can. They're all still...
Yeah.
You know, it's not like that is an extremely old play. Like,
what do you got? Idina Menzel?
Idina Menzel. You got Jesse L. Martin, who's on Flash.
Uh-huh.
You know, you can get a lot of these guys back on.
Was it Taye Diggs? Is he?
Taye Diggs was in it.
Yep.
And then Jesus Christ Superstar. I mean, obviously they're going to bring that out around Easter time. I don't know. I personally don't enjoy that musical, but I'm going to watch it anyway just to see how they do it. But I've never been a fan of that musical in general.
Maybe Justin Theroux from Leftovers can be in it since he's Jesus Christ Superstar on that show.
It's perfect.
If you don't get that reference, go listen to our episode about The Leftovers, season 3, episode 4.
Yep.
You'll get that. Beautiful.
Episode 5 comes out this Wednesday. Only 4
Take
episodes.
Take 2 podcast all over everything, baby.
Boom, boom, boom. What you got for us, Brian?
I've got good news. The writer's strike was avoided. This actually got resolved 2 weeks ago, but we forgot to mention it on last week's show. I didn't even really bother to look up the details, but they settled and everything's good to go. So our TV shows will be funny in the fall, thankfully.
Yay!
Yay!
Hellboy is moving forward whether Del Toro and Perlman are on board or not. They're pushing for Hellboy with a rated R.
Aren't they talking about the guy from Stranger Things taking over the role?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that was the last thing I heard, yeah.
Yeah.
So, it would be tough not to have Perlman as it, but he just might be too old at this point.
If you've watched Sons of Anarchy, he's been in that. He's getting up there in age.
Yeah. Josh Gad has been cast in a new film, and the heavy rumors was that he was going to play the Penguin, but that was him just joking around on Instagram and Twitter. He posted a picture of the Penguin, like artwork of the Penguin, which got everyone in a frenzy thinking maybe he was being cast to play the Penguin in one of the upcoming Batman films, maybe possibly Justice League or such. He came out and said, no, I was just kind of goofing around. Granted, he never said, no, I'm not, but he just said I was kind of goofing around. Take it as you will. But he has been cast to play Truman Capote in The Party of the Century. This is a remake of the actual party that happened at the Plaza Hotel in New York. It's ranked as the greatest party of the century, if you will, where everyone that's anyone was there, and he's supposed to be playing Truman Capote in it. And
I'm intrigued because there's been 2 Truman Capote movies in recent times, and be interested to see his take on it.
Yeah, definitely.
I thought Philip Seymour Hoffman was great.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be hard to top Hoffman because I think he did great as it.
Yeah, and he was recognized. He won the Academy Award for it. So, and also Josh Gad was also cast to play the true story of Craig's life. I think if we had a movie, he could play you, Craig.
Yeah. Okay, that works.
That works. Yeah.
Totally down with that.
I'd obviously be Zac Efron.
Obviously.
Don't laugh so hard.
I'm not sorry. No, nope. That's fine.
I have an app somewhere.
Somewhere in there.
Yeah.
As long as I get, what's his name, from Fast and Furious, who fought The Rock?
Vin Diesel?
No.
Jason Statham?
Yeah, Statham. Yeah, I want Statham.
He wants to be Paul Walker. I'm not going to dig him up.
Thanks. No, I want Jason Statham. All right, so as of 2015, this name ranked 3,269th overall for boys. 2016... it moved up to 901st place overall. 2,700 spots it moved up in the list. What male name do you think was rated so high in 2016?
It's so lame, but I saw the article. It's Kylo.
You could have let Craig guess.
one, I wouldn't have guessed that.
No, two, never.
Two, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah. Apparently, Kylo.
Yeah. 8 people. I don't want to be part of the society anymore.
Kylo.
Did you see the other side of that coin? They said that Caitlyn has dropped off for girls. It's nowhere. It's like totally off the list now.
Is used to just be the a name big Caitlyn? Name. Interesting. Just Caitlyn in general has just dropped off?
Yeah, no one wants to be Caitlyn anymore.
I can't really blame them.
Did Rey boost up there? Or I think maybe.
I didn't see that part. I don't know.
Maybe BB-8 for a girl would be a good name. But yeah, Kylo, popular name. Lots of people have been naming their kid Kylo. And just for reference, Jackson was the number one name of 2016 for no reason.
Of course it was. Sons of Anarchy fans are still holding on.
They're doing whatever they can.
That's what that is.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I thought it was for Michael, but okay. So that would be more topical, Sons of Anarchy.
You mean they're not naming it after a pop star who's been dead for...
I guess.
I assumed it was Jesse Jackson they were naming everyone after, but you know, whatever.
Good gracious. All right, that wraps my news. Tony?
Yeah, first, I wanted to get your opinion on some news that came this week.
Kylo's dumping. Is that what you
yes,
mean, in my opinion?
Yes, that's okay. Exactly what it was. Everyone was in a tizzy on Twitter and such about The Rock coming out and saying that he might run for president. What do you think about that?
I'm in.
Totally in, and I'm going to plan to be part of his campaign.
It's sad, though, right? That you're like, yeah, I'd vote for The Rock. Yep.
No, I would vote for him 1,000 times, yes.
We are definitely becoming Idiocracy. We really are. Like, every day, we're inching more and more to it. So.
Mm-hmm. I don't know why Terry Crews just doesn't run.
Yeah.
Maybe he'll be his vice.
From Idiocracy, yeah.
Yeah.
It'll be the Rock's vice president. It'll be a Rock Crews card.
There you go.
Cruise the Rock.
Did it say what party he'd be under? Or, I mean, I guess if he was smart, he'd do independent.
The Stone Party? I don't know.
Doesn't matter.
The Nation of
NWO?
The Brahma Bull Party.
Well done.
Our sad news this week, let me cut to that next, is we lost another Hollywood star, Powers Booth, who he's been in a ton of stuff. He's one of those guys where you see him and you're like, oh, that guy. Like, he's always kind of like a shifty bad guy, but he's in everything. I remember him most from Tombstone, probably.
I was going to say, Curly Bill, he was great.
Yeah, yeah. He was also in Red Dawn, if you remember that one.
Yes.
Love Red Dawn. And then he was in, for our nerds, he was in the Avengers and / Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. as Gideon Malik. So
he did a bunch of the voices, too, for the Justice League.
Yeah, didn't he do like a Lex Luthor in one of them?
He did Lex Luthor, did Gorilla Grodd.
Gorilla Grodd, yep. So he's definitely, if you look up his IMDb and such, he's done a ton of stuff, and he's definitely recognizable. So, sad loss. I want to say he was only in his late 60s, so a little young to go. So
he was weird, 68, and they said natural causes.
That's what I was going to ask. Did they say what it was? Was it natural causes?
That's not a thing.
Too much of a badass for too long. I mean, it's a...
That's 68 isn't natural causes anymore. Maybe like in 1955 that was old enough for natural causes.
He got the consumption. He lived to be 43. Natural causes.
And that was Red Dawn the original, by the way, the 1984.
Yeah. That's the only one that I recognize.
That's the only one that exists. Okay. Yeah,
not that 2012 nonsense.
No. We only recognize the original.
Wolverine!
This may be a little bit of old news, but I think we missed it like a week or two ago. Dave Chappelle apparently is going to be in the Star Is Born movie that they're working on with Lady Gaga and Brad Cooper. Cool. I find that to be interesting if he's going to be in a semi-dramatic role, and he really hasn't done much recently either. So kind of an interesting bit of casting. And then I know we shared it on our Facebook earlier this week, but they've gone to series with a Deadpool R-rated animated series. So I think it's on FX or FXX or FXXXXXXM, whatever channel they do now. I don't know.
Oh, I don't
get that
one.
85 channels. I think that'll be cool.
Oh, yeah. So. People will watch that. I actually think it would probably do better on something like a Netflix or Hulu where they would drop the whole thing, because I would see a lot of people
just binge it
just
out.
Just binge watching that entire thing. I mean, it's, you know.
Then the other bit of news I had is breaking news here, actually given to us by Roy, since he couldn't be here tonight. Apparently, hackers are claiming that they have the Pirates of the Caribbean Dead Man Tell No Tales, and they are holding it hostage and demanding a ransom. They want bitcoins, apparently, and Disney's not giving on that, but that's a developing story as we're recording right now. So.
Yeah. Well, I know there was the group that had the Orange is the New Black.
Mm-hmm. This doesn't say it's the same one. Yeah. Maybe it is, but...
Well, I know with Netflix, you know, they said, the group said, oh, you know, we'll release this to everybody. And the group was like, go ahead and do it. We don't care. Like, we're going to drop it in like 2 weeks, 3 weeks. They were like, you want to do it early, do it early. Who cares? Because they know that even if they do that, there may be some people, but the majority of people that were going to watch that are just going to wait till it shows up on Netflix easily on their television anyway. So
sure.
Probably get better publicity out of that.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
Netflix is probably happy about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep. So that's happening right now. We'll see what happens over the next 11 days between now and when the movie's supposed to come out. The other bit of news that came out with Pirates was that Paul McCartney is apparently in it as just a cameo role, probably similar to what's his name, Rolling Stones in was that Part 3?
Yeah, Keith Richards was in Part 3. Yeah.
Part 3. Yeah.
Yeah. So. Yeah. And I heard too that, because you know they had that thing. I want to say last week we talked about it, where Johnny Depp showed up at Disneyland.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In the Pirates of the Caribbean. They did it again him and Orlando Bloom both showed up at Disneyland Paris.
Damn.
In the ride, like to surprise people.
Wow. Did someone push Orlando Bloom into the water, hopefully?
I would hope so.
Why?
I mean, the problem is how many people were probably in Disneyland Paris on that ride anyway, you know?
Yeah.
That's Legolas.
Still, push him in the water. He's done.
Those are all the Orlando Bloom movies I can name.
Yeah, that's probably. Oh no, I like Elizabethtown. I'll give him that.
Oh shoot, yeah, got me. Yep.
I did like that one, but that's more just Cameron Crowe's script than him. So, all right. But moving on, the other big thing of the week that everyone's been talking about is the TV cancellations, renewals, all that stuff's been happening and rapidly changing. Every time I log on Twitter, Facebook, something's changing with it. So. Just want to give some highlights, lowlights, whatever, of some of the stuff that's been picked up, canceled, moved, whatever. So I'm going to try and break it down by network, if that works easiest for you. But NBC, they came out earlier this week, and they said, we're canceling Timeless, we're canceling Powerless, we're canceling Emerald City, brought the axe down on a couple things. And most people didn't care much about Emerald City anyways. Powerless, I liked. I was following it. I thought the pilot episode was a little weak. But it got better as it went, so maybe people just didn't stick with it.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, we watched it too, me and my wife, and we both thought it was good. I think if they went actually a little more with the superheroes as opposed to, I don't know. Like,
I think they should have referenced bigger heroes. Maybe not necessarily showing them, but referencing them, and it would have made people be more invested in the show.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
When you're trying to be even with obscure characters, no one cares.
Right. Even with that, I think it was the pilot one where they invented something and then Batman ended up using it,
mm-hmm.
like at the very end of the episode. I think that's the way they should have incorporated the heroes into the show.
Did they show Batman?
No, but they said, that Batman defeated some villain using something that they had developed.
Yeah. And Batman's cousin runs the company or whatever.
Right. It's run by Bruce Wayne's cousin.
Yeah, oh. They should have worked that angle more, and they didn't. Yeah. That's why it went by the wayside. But it was a decent show. I think if it would have been given the chance, it would have been better. So it's a shame. But the big surprise was, they said Timeless was gone, and then, maybe 2 days later, they're like, nope, we're kidding. We're bringing it back. we're probably not going to bring it back till spring of 18, and it's going to be a short season, but we're going to bring it back. We heard all your fans on Twitter and everything, and the fan movement worked, and I've never really seen that happen before.
It's crazy.
It's very rare, especially that quickly.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, from, you're talking, was it a 2 day span between cancellation and then, no, we're bringing it back?
People are still trying to get Firefly back.
Yeah.
And it's been 10 years.
Exactly.
Yeah. So I thought that was interesting, pretty cool move, and I'm happy because I watched Timeless, so I'm glad it comes.
I was going to say, I know you mentioned watching earlier. Did you stick
with it? Yeah, we stuck with it all the way. We got kind of in a funk with it, like you said with Riverdale, where you were like, let me watch three or four episodes at a time. We kind of did the same thing with Timeless. Like, we would watch it, and then we binged three episodes at once, and I think it was better served that way almost. So. Yeah, I enjoyed it. It wasn't the best show ever, but it was fun. Kind of like Quantum Leap-y,
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm glad it's coming back. And then another little bit of news from NBC. They're moving This Is Us to Thursday. Apparently, I think with Will and Grace. Is that right, Brian?
Whoa, a little must-see TV?
Trying to redo must-see TV Thursday.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like, yeah.
So, Will and Grace will be back, and they're moving This Is Us to Thursday. So that's always the big spot for them where, that's their best show. So
nice. We'll
see how that does. with ABC News, we kind of broke it last week on the show that American Idol was going to be coming back, and sure enough, it did. It got moved to ABC. They're bringing it back. So they're approving that. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. got picked up for another season, which was kind of on the fence whether or not that one was coming back, so it did. Modern Family got picked up for 2 more years.
And they all got raises.
Once upon a time, we also broke news on that, too, last week, where we said they were losing one actress. Since then, they've lost almost the entire cast. They're basically rebooting the show.
Yeah, just had their season premiere is, I think it either just happened yesterday or it's next weekend.
Season finale. Was
season yesterday? Finale.
Yesterday.
Season finale. Yeah, it was yesterday. Their season finale. And apparently, I've yet to watch it, but they apparently wrapped up everything very well in preparation to basically reboot the show.
Yeah, so they've approved it. Yeah, so
just a few characters left.
Yeah, yeah, it's renewed. It's coming back, but it's going to be a different show because a lot of the actors are gone. For anybody that watches Scandal out there, they said Scandal's coming back for one more season. One of the shows I watched that they got rid of, not a big deal, but American Crime. I don't know if either of you watched that ever.
No.
I never got into it, yeah.
Yeah, it was a big award winner. They always had Golden Globes and Emmys and stuff. It was same cast, but a different, like, different season every year, like not the same roles, but the same people, you know, the anthology type show. And it was very topical, political, all that, but I liked it. And it was a good show, ran three seasons, but they canceled that. Imaginary Mary, which I think, Brian, I joked with you. I said, I don't know how many episodes they're actually going to let that show go because it looked awful.
Mm-hmm.
And they dropped that.
I don't even know the show you're speaking of.
It's Jenna Elfman, and she has, like, an imaginary friend.
Wait, like a little blue thing?
Yeah, it looked awful.
It did look awful. Yeah, I didn't realize that was, like, a real show.
Yeah, no, it was a real show, and they canceled it already. So, Last Man Standing got canceled finally, which I was shocked that
that was still on.
Yeah, but did you see today that there was a big thing about it where now there's a petition online. People are saying boycott ABC.
Right, because it was a political
that they got rid of it. Yeah,
yeah, because he actually supported Trump in the show, and so they said it was a huge thing.
I don't know one person that's actually watched that show ever, and I didn't even know it was still on. So,
how many people do you think are signing the petition?
They said 33,000 already.
How many of them do you think watched the show?
Six.
I watched seasons one and two, but I don't know. It was just one of those shows that wasn't bad, but it didn't, like, if I forgot to watch it, I just didn't even think about it type thing. And I guess, what was it, season four maybe, or five? What were they up to?
Seven. I don't even know. I'm not sure. But because I saw they had, like, reruns on, like, CMT, and I was like, oh, is this show on here now? I don't even know what's going on.
It makes sense, though, that petition, though, because, you know, Disney owning ABC, you know, their company, very liberal company, and then for that rumor or what have you, that makes sense. Yeah. But because he was very, you know, had that Republican mindset on the show,
he had come out earlier during the election, supported Kasich, and said how being a conservative in Hollywood was like being in Nazi Germany. True. Like, I guess Tim Allen had said that during the election. So
wrong words to use, but he's not far off in his comparison.
Yeah. So I think that's kind of where the backlash is coming from. But whatever. I don't really watch much. Actually, I don't think I watch anything on CBS. So the only thing of note that they got rid of was Two Broke Girls, which has been on for a while.
I'm surprised that show was still on.
Yeah.
The only thing I watch on CBS is Big Bang Theory.
Yeah, I don't even watch
it. I missed this entire season.
Of Big Bang Theory?
Yep, the wife and I kept saying, oh, we gotta catch up. And then I just looked this week, and I was like, oh, the finale was this week. There was a big, you know, twist at the end of the finale, and we realized we didn't watch a single episode this year.
Yeah, well, that's one of the things. Like, you can wait till summer.
Yeah.
Binge that probably a couple weekends.
Yeah.
And then I'm interested that they still haven't decided on Training Day with Bill Paxton dying. I mean, didn't that pretty much figure it out for you? I mean,
you would think, but hey, who knows?
Yeah, I don't know. Okay, over at Fox, they renewed Brooklyn Nine-Nine, which I'm a fan of. They renewed Last Man on Earth, which I was a little worried they weren't going to, but that's a great show. They said New Girl's getting one final season, a shortened season. They renewed Simpsons for two more seasons.
Oh, so now it's going
up to 30 seasons.
Oh, my God.
30, yep.
I still remember the pilot episode.
Yeah.
I still remember watching.
I remember watching it on Tracy Ullman.
On Tracy Ullman show.
Yeah, when it was just the shorts. I know we had talked about it before. X-Files is coming back. They said that. They canceled a few things, though. They got rid of Sleepy Hollow, which I used to watch. I gave up on it.
Yeah, I had the first season. I watched that, but then I sort of fell off on it.
I think the second season, I was done. Like, two episodes in, I was like, this is stupid. Pitch, I know Brian was looking forward to that. They got rid of it. APB, Craig, you were watching that.
Yeah, I think it was a good concept, but I'm not surprised they got rid of the show.
Yeah, I'm shocked Scream Queens got the axe. You know, they usually love all of his shows.
Yeah.
You know, American History, or not American History, American Horror Story.
American Horror Story,
What else did he do? Glee, you know, all of his shows. Why am I spacing on his name?
Scream Queens had a cast, too. They had a pretty thick cast.
Yeah.
What's the guy's name that does all the shows? Why can't I think of it?
I was trying to...
Ryan Murphy.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Correct.
Yeah, so his show got canceled. Son of Zorn, which looked awful, got canceled. I never watched it. And Making History, which Craig and I both had given a shot, and I liked it.
Yeah, I mean, we gave it, I want to say 4 or 5 episodes, but it was when we cut the cable out, it was one of those that didn't make it over with us.
Yeah, it was one of those ones that, it like I said, it would have been better on, like, a Comedy Central or something, maybe.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or even just a streaming, you know, but it was decent. And then over at CW, you had pretty much everything got renewed. Except
that's
Frequency.
Salt in the wound, pal. Thanks. Thanks.
No, everything I mean, got renewed except what Brian likes.
Well, I like that show.
I mean, what? Didn't Vampire Diaries ended? So that doesn't really count.
Right.
Right, but everything else got renewed, yes.
No, you're right.
Basically. The only other thing of note I saw
with Frequency and No Tomorrow. Sorry to interrupt you there, Tony. No, but Frequency and No Tomorrow, they put up like an epilogue for each show, sort of actually wrapping everything up. To help people like Brian survive.
Yeah.
It was much needed. It was therapeutic. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
People at CW. I wish Pitch would do that, though. Like, if they filmed one final scene differently with Pitch, it easily could have just been a one-season show. But they, like every show is supposed to, they changed their ending on purpose to try and help them get a second season.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't. So now I'd like them to go back and just play what they were originally going to do and just make it a one-season show. Anywho, sorry, go, Tony.
No, that was I forgot to mention when I was talking about Fox. They renewed Gotham, but they're also moving that one to Thursday. I don't know if you saw that. So
I didn't. That's normally a Monday show. Oh, wow.
Yeah, I don't know if that's going to do well. So
they're going to put it against This Is Us?
Help me in figuring this out. Does it really matter anymore?
No.
If you put shows against each other?
No.
It doesn't.
I don't feel it does, right?
Like, no. Most people watch on DVR, on demand, or on apps, or whatever.
Or watch something live. Like, I mean, you know, we would watch something live and then tape something else. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, it doesn't seem like that's that much of a thing anymore, that it's like, oh, no, it's going up against, you know, whatever. Yeah. Like,
well, apparently this year it is, because they're moving some stuff around. Which is weird, because I didn't think Gotham really did that well. I thought it was almost, like, on the bubble, so why move it to like a prime spot?
It was on the bubble because I saw when they got renewed, like every actor tweeted out like major thanks and major praise and stuff saying thank you. And you rarely see that where the actors are like, oh, thanks that we got renewed. Hey, so you must have known that they felt like it was on the bubble, which is funny because I think this season's the best season. I love Gotham this year.
Yeah, it's very good. We talked about it last week with our Marvel episode that we did. Or did we talk about it last week or no? When did we talk about it?
2 weeks ago on the regular show.
2 weeks ago, regular show. Sorry, I'm getting mixed up. Yeah, but same thing. We you know, they split the season up, and it's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the last thing I actually read said one of the reasons they keep getting renewed is right around the time for stations or for the stations to decide this. They've been dropping the Netflix seasons like about a month beforehand, which apparently do very well. In streaming, so that pushes like the fan base to be like, no, you got to keep it going, like, because they want to see more. I read that about a week ago.
Very fascinating.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's
that's all the news I have, though.
So
otherwise,
back to that Modern Fam. Also, they all got raises, including the kids. All got pretty substantial raises. When they just got raises, they kind of held out before this past season, if you remember. So they gave them all bigger raises again and booked it for the 2. And it sounds like from the talks of it, 9 and 10, and they'll be done after 10.
They haven't said that officially yet, huh?
No, but it was kind of the way the creators were mentioning it there. Just they booked it for 2 for a reason to then wrap it. But I think Modern Fam was one of those shows that people kind of forgot about. Like, it stopped winning the Emmy every year. And then people this year got back and they're like, oh, wait, the show is still funny. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but you don't want to overdo it. So, yeah, it's good to put an end on it.
I mean, especially when you have kids involved. I mean, you're already at the point where all 3 of those Dumphy kids are in college.
Right.
You know, I mean, you're starting to age everybody out. Like,
they could do Modern Family, the new class. That always works.
That always works great. Yeah, exactly.
Bring me a Golic.
Exactly.
Bob Golic.
Yep. Maybe he can be the RA for Luke, and like they all go to the same college, Luke and Manny, and then right. Wow, Luke's there. Yeah,
I think it's a great idea.
That's actually it genius. Is.
Brian, standing on the edge of tomorrow.
I was about to ask if Brian could sing the theme. I should have known Tony would have it already.
He beat me to it.
Cool. Can we do an entire podcast where we just watch Saved by the Bell, the new class?
I think we need to do one that's all well, like that 80s, 90s shows years. That we love and yeah. just sing all the theme songs.
C-I-T-Y, you can see why city guys.
Exactly.
California Dreams, don't wake me up if I... That's underrated. I don't think anybody else watched California Dreaming.
No.
I know of its existence. I was never a big fan of it. I was more a City Guys person.
That was on right after it.
I know. But
then,
you know,
and then Hangin' Tough.
Cool City Guys. I don't want to watch all these preppy surfers.
I actually wish Hangin' Tough was on like Netflix or something. I want my daughter to watch that. But the girl on the basketball team?
Probably on YouTube.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's a good point.
All right. What do we got going forward there, Brian?
Well, we got a couple of cinematic films coming out. There's one... We don't talk about it much on this show. It's called Alien Covenant. I don't know if anybody's heard of it.
Never heard of that, no.
No.
We used to have a host on this show that liked that, I thought, but he hasn't been here in a while, so.
Yeah, he got poisoned.
He passed away, it was sad.
Five hosts.
I think that's what, when somebody doesn't show up for 2 weeks, we'll just pretend that they died.
Yep, that's it.
Yeah, you missed like four.
I know. I came back.
This
Jesus
is
Christ Superstar.
Craig back from the dead. Alien Covenant's going to go up against Diary of a Wimpy Kid, also Everything Everything, which was a book remake, and then The Commune, which when I first saw, I thought that was maybe the sequel to The Village, but it's not. So those are your big films coming out this week. SNL this weekend is the final episode of Saturday Night Live for its 42nd season. The Rock, Dwayne Johnson, who we mentioned earlier, is the host. And Katy Perry is your musical guest.
So and it'll be The Rock's fifth time hosting.
Oh, nice.
Ooh, he's in the Five Club.
Yep.
Nice.
Which Melissa McCarthy yeah. just did last weekend, yeah.
Yep. Why do we not cover SNL more? We need to.
We are, that's spoiler alert. Next season, we're going to cover SNL a lot more because we all watch it. So we might as well. So that'll wrap up season 42 of Saturday Night Live, a show that'll probably never get canceled. Coming up for us. In the next couple of weeks, we will be doing our CW wrap-up show, where we're going to talk all the CW comic shows that are on there, Flash, Supergirl Legends, and what am I missing? Green Arrow?
Arrow.
Yep. Or just Arrow.
We all forget about Arrow. It's okay.
The Berlanti-verse. I never heard it called that.
The Berlanti-verse.
Yeah.
Which, ironically, I think Arrow has gotten better since the break. Its last couple... Yes.
Flash has gotten worse, and Arrow's gotten better.
They've, like, traded places.
Yep. Good movie.
It is a good movie. We have an iZombie episode coming up, not this week, next week, possibly, hopefully, if Nick is back from the dead. Nick will be a zombie on that show.
Oh, where do you know?
There you go. Also, Leftovers episode 5, we will be reviewing. There's only 4 left. It's very bitter. I'm getting sad. I'm actually like getting sad about it because there's only 4 episodes left, but also very curious. So Tony, myself, and probably Roy, I think yes, Roy, will have your full episode 5 review out this week as well. And then the biggest news, we had a humongous crossover this week.
Big news.
Brian.
I know, we need a timpani sound or something.
Yeah. Brian from a podcast called The Batman versus James Bond Show. Very super popular podcast that's out there right now. Multiple thousands of followers love it. And he was on our show. And we did a big long, we were going to just do a quick chat with him, but it turned into an hour long episode. So we're turning that into a special edition show where we chat with him. We break down Batman. We break down James Bond. We talk about a ton of stuff. We're on for an hour. What can you talk about in an hour? And that is going to be coming out this week as a special edition show. So look for that on iTunes, Podomatic, and Stitcher.
Yeah, and check out his show as well.
He does good
stuff. Hopefully we can also get an American Gods episode in the works. We've been trying to do this for a couple weeks now. Hopefully you guys are watching that show. Craig and myself are watching it. We're loving it.
And it's great. Yeah.
It's
if you're
insane.
Not watching it, you got to get on it. Yeah.
Yeah. It's an insane show. So hopefully we can work it out and get a special edition episode of that going for you guys as well. So keep looking for that.
Craigie, we also have a crossover coming up possibly with Marge sent me, right? Is that what it's called?
Yeah, we got a couple different ones. We got a Large Marge sent us.
There we go.
Crossover coming, which is a couple of sisters that watched movies from their childhood, and then see if they held up, which is something that we've been interested in doing anyway as a section on our show. So figure we might have a crossover going with them sometime in June, it looks like. Mm-hmm. Also got a crossover with another movie podcast called a Down the Hall Podcast. They review movies, basically go through movie picks as to recommend movies each week, because their whole shtick is, you know, people spend thousands of hours wasting time looking for movies on Netflix, so they just give you movies that you should watch for the week instead. So we got another crossover in June with those guys too. So it's going to be a big summer for us. We're trying to get as many crossovers in as we can.
And worst ever.
These podcasts. Me and Brian have been working desperately to get a crossover with a Worst Ever Podcast. And we're going to keep pushing at it until we get over there.
Step by step, day by day. That was a great show. That's got Christine Lakin, who was on Step by Step, TGI Friday.
Exactly.
And Alec Led, they're the host of that show. We've been conversing with them. We just need to iron out some scheduling.
Yep.
Any other podcasts out there want to hit us up and do any other crossovers, let us know. If you're actually listening to us, please let us know. Email us, take2podcast@gmail.com. Visit our website, take2podcast.com. Hit us up on Twitter @take2podcast. Email us. Let us know what's up, people. Reach out to us.
For episode 31, I'm Brian, Craig, Tony. Thanks, everybody. Have a good night.
Good night.
Bye.